first chapter of Revelation, verse 3, please. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Tonight, with the Lord's blessing, we'll start a new Puritan study. It's called Thomas Watson on Reading and Hearing the Word. Revelation 1, 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy." The Word of God is full of blessing. It equips the believer for every good work. For the unbeliever, it is the power of God unto salvation. One cannot overestimate the value of the Bible or praise God's Word too highly. It is a Word, beautiful, good, true, and powerful. But it is not magical. A Bible collecting dust on your coffee table does you no good. A sermon slept through is worse than useless. Owning a Bible and attending church are not enough. We have to become good readers of the Word and good hearers of the Bible. How do we do this? Part of the work is mental. The study of grammar, vocabulary, history, logic, theology, and so on can be very helpful in becoming better at hearing and reading the Word. But most of the work is spiritual. Some attitudes promote the reading and hearing of the Word. Other attitudes hinder it. What are the qualities that make a good reader and hearer of the Word? How do we obtain them? How do we grow in them? These are the issues we'll explore in our study, the Lord willing. The book we're using is Thomas Watson's classic, The Ten Commandments. If you have it, read the chapter near the end of the book called The Word. It'll do you good. Watson, you see, unlike many Puritans, is quite readable, and the chapter is only about 6 pages long. The goal of the study, then, is to make us better readers and hearers of God's Word, and in becoming better at reading and hearing the Word, to grow in happiness. Our text says, "Happy is he who reads, and happy are they who hear the words of this prophecy." What John said about the last book of the Bible is equally true about every book of the Bible. There's something in the Bible to bless us wherever we read it. There's something in our sermon to bless us, no matter how lame the preacher is. For now, we'll look at reading the Word, and next time, at hearing it. Before we get to that, however, we have to remember what is at stake, or how important it is that we read the Word of God, and that we read it well. Watson says, "One way to escape the wrath and curse of God and obtain the benefit of redemption by Christ is the diligent use of ordinances, in particular, the Word." You see, Bible reading is not just about learning things. It is about salvation. It is about your salvation. The good reading of the Word will bring you closer to heaven, while the bad reading of the Word will bring you closer to hell. You need to remember that the next time you crack open your Bible. Reading the Word of God is a serious business. It's a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death, depending on how you read it. If heaven and hell are bound up in how we read the Word of God, we ought to read it well. Thomas Watson names several things that make us good readers of the Word, and not one of them is of a scholarly nature. He says nothing about learning Hebrew or Greek. He says nothing about consulting learned books. This means that no one is left out. Anyone who can read the Bible can read the Bible with profit. And so it doesn't require scholarship or any kind of academic credentials to be a good reader of God's Word. But it does require something. And tonight we'll look at 6 traits of a good Bible reader. The first thing that is necessary to a good reading of the Bible is a reverent love. You know what love is, of course. To love something is to take pleasure in it. A reverent love is one that adds respect and honor. This is what we ought to have for the Word of God. Watson says, "Let us have a reverent esteem of every part of Scripture. More to be desired are they than gold. Value the book of God above all other books. It is a golden letter sent to us from heaven." Do you love the Word of God? We all say we do, but do we? Do we really? No one's love is perfect, of course, but an imperfect love is still love. So do you love the Word of God? Here's a test. The test is very easy to take, but maybe not so easy to pass. How do you know if you love the Word of God? Here's how. Do you enjoy reading the Bible? I'm not asking how often you read it, how much you read, or even how well you understand the Bible. But more basically, do you enjoy reading the Bible? Is Bible reading a joy, or is it a bummer? Is it something you have to do, or something you want to do? As long as you feel it's a burden to read the Bible, you'll never read it well. Preachers, I fear, are partly to blame here. Christians have never been busier than we are now, and yet we preachers want Christians to read their Bibles. And the easiest way to do that, we think, is to make them feel guilty if they don't, to denounce and ridicule and threaten them into good devotional habits. Thomas Watson knows better. He does not get us to read our Bibles by threatening us if we don't, making us feel guilty if we don't. But rather, he raises our love for the Bible by reminding us of how precious that book is. He says, "The Scripture is a spiritual mirror to dress our souls by. It is an arsenal out of which we may fetch spiritual arms to fight against Satan. It is a soap which washes our spots away. The Scripture is a universal medicine for the soul." The images he chose are very apt. If the Bible is a mirror, it shows us what we are. Believe you me, ugly and sloppy people don't much like looking in the mirror. But what believer is ugly or sloppy? Believers are clothed in Jesus Christ. The Word tells us that. And thus, reading the Bible leaves us not feeling rotten and inferior, but content and exhilarated. I'm wearing garments of salvation. I've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very encouraging. Looking like me, it's not so encouraging to look in a mirror. But looking like Christ, it's very encouraging looking into His Word. If the Bible is a soap, it washes away the stain of daily sin and it leaves us clean and fresh. If the Bible is an arsenal, it equips us to fight the powers of temptation that are all around us, and not just to fight them, but to defeat them. If the Bible is a medicine, it cures what's wrong with us. If you were beautiful, wouldn't it be a joy to look in a mirror? If you were dirty, wouldn't you love a bar of soap? If you were under attack, wouldn't it be great to have a machine gun or two? If you were sick, wouldn't you love the pill that made you healthy? The Word of God is all of these things and far more. Remember what the Word of God is and what it is to you, and you'll start reading it with reverent love. And consequently, you'll start reading it well. So the first quality of a good Bible reader is he reads the Bible with a reverent love. In the second place, Watson says we have to read the Bible carefully. If we would have the written Word effectual for our souls, let us study it with an intenseness of mind. Search the Scriptures. The Word signifies to dig into it as a miner does for a silver vein. The Bereans search the Scriptures daily. The Word means to make a curious and critical search. Some gallop over a chapter and get no good by it. If we would have the word do us good, we will have to mind and note every passage of Scripture to be diligent in the study of Scripture. I hope you don't take this wrong, but the words of the Bible do us very little good. The sounds and rhythms are charming, of course. For people who have always read the Bible, they bring back happy memories and act like a lullaby on our souls. But it is not the words of the Bible, but the meaning of the Bible that does us good. Not the words, but the message. Not the letters on the page, but what they say. And figuring out what they say takes a lot of hard work. To do the work, you don't need great scholarship, but you must have three things. Three things that are in very short supply. They are time, quiet, and attention. You will not read the Bible carefully unless you make the time for it, unless you get away to a quiet place, and unless you pay attention to what you're reading. These are not easily gotten, especially if you're a mother. But there is no substitute for them. You've got to make time to read the Bible, even if other things have to be put off. You've got to find some quiet to read the Bible. That's going to take some discipline. And you've got to have some attention. You've got to put the other things out of your mind for a while. We men and fathers can be a big help here. And if we love our wives, we'll help them with the children and the house and so forth, so that they too can have some quality time with the Lord. If you want to profit from reading the Bible, you've got to read it with careful attention. That's the second rule. The third trait of good reading is faith. If we would have the word effectual to our souls, we must bring faith to the reading of it. Believe it to be the word of the eternal Jehovah. It comes with authority and shows its commission from heaven. It is of divine inspiration and is to be surer to us than a voice from heaven. Unbelief cuts the nerve of Scripture reading and leaves it powerless. First, men question the truth of Scripture and then fall away from it. The Bible is full of promises and warnings, all of which are true, but they do us no good unless we believe them. What comfort or hope or strength does a promise give me if I doubt it? How can a warning help me if I don't take it seriously? And this is all faith is. It is believing God or taking His word seriously. A promise read in unbelief will torture you. A warning read in unbelief will make you laugh. A Bible read in unbelief will do you far more harm than good. And so the best way to increase your faith in the Bible is to read the Bible. The Bible is full of miracles and other unlikely events. And yet a careful reading of the Bible will indicate that it's not legendary, that it's not mythological at all. The stories are told in a matter-of-fact way as though they really happened. And if you know God, His power, integrity, and grace, you know they could have happened, and in fact, they did happen. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe His prophets and you shall prosper. And so what are the traits of a good reader? He reads the Bible with a reverent love. He reads the Bible with careful attention. He reads the Bible with faith. The fourth quality is he reads the Bible and meditates on it. If we would have the Scripture effectual and saving, we must be sure when we have read the Word to hide it in our hearts. The Word locked up in the heart is a preservative against sin. Why did David hide the Word in his heart? That I might not sin against thee. As one would carry an antidote with him if he should come to an infected place, so David carried the Word in his heart to preserve him from the infection of sin. When the seed is hidden in the ground, the corn springs up. So when the word is in the heart, it brings forth good fruit. Hiding God's word in your heart is another way of saying meditation. To meditate on the word is not to empty your mind, but to fill it up with the word of God. Meditation is to the word what digestion is to food. If a man cannot digest his food, he can eat all day long and starve. In the same way, if a Christian does not meditate on the Word, his daily reading will do him no good, even if he reads 12 hours a day. It makes no difference how good the Word is, how much he reads it, or how much he enjoys it. If he does not retain the Word, if he doesn't mull it over, his spiritual life will grow weaker and weaker until he dies. Television and computers have greatly reduced our attention span. We're restless and easily bored. Instead of reading books, we wait for the movie to come out. Our politicians speak in sound bites, not paragraphs. Sermons are getting shorter and shorter. Maybe the strangest book I've ever seen has this title, The 1 Minute Devotional Bible. Put in a good 60 seconds a day as devotional reading. But good Bible reading requires time. Not only time spent reading the Word, but more time, far more time, mulling it over. You're busy. Everyone is busy. But even busy people do many things that don't demand their full attention. Driving a car. Cooking. Waiting on hold, walking, sitting in a doctor's office. These are things we do regularly. And these are good times for turning a passage over in your mind. What did you read this morning in the Bible? If you didn't read this morning, well, maybe if you can't remember what you read this morning, then turn to some other passage, some passage that you've memorized or at least know the gist of. Turn over to the Lord's Prayer. Turn to the 23rd Psalm. Turn to John 3:16 and so on. Surely you must know at least some verses by heart, or at least the gist of some verses. Because every verse in the Bible is God's Word, then any verse meditated on will do you good. Psalmist said, I have more knowledge than my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. He says nothing about his IQ. He says nothing about his professors. He says nothing about his scripture reading habits even. He just says, I meditate on the Word. Consequently, I grow in knowledge. And so if you want to read the Bible well, you've got to spend some time meditating on it. If you want to read the Word of God well, then read it with a mind to obey it. Watson says, if we would have the word effectual, let us labor not only to have the light of it in our heads, but its power in our hearts. This is the main cause of bad Bible reading. We read for information. We read to show off or win arguments. We read to keep a good conscience. We read so nobody will call us on not reading. In fact, we ought to be reading the Bible with a mind to obey God. The first thing the blinded Pharisee said was, Lord, what will you have me to do? First thing Samuel said when God spoke to him in the tabernacle that night was, speak, Lord, for your servant hears you. And of course, the meaning of hearing you means your servant is eager to listen to what you say and do what you say. When we do these things, the Word will open up to us. The Lord said, if any man is willing to do His will, he will know the doctrine of which I speak. Here's a tip for being a better reader of God's Word. When you find a duty in the Bible, do it as soon as possible. Not every duty can be done the minute you read it, but many of them can be. For example, if you're reading in the New Testament and come across that verse that says, in everything give thanks. Stop reading for a minute and give thanks for something. If it says, he who confesses his sin shall prosper, stop right there and confess your sin. This may slow down your reading, but that's all right because it's going to speed up your obedience. And remember, it's not who gets through the Bible first who wins, but rather it's he who obeys the Bible who wins. And so if you want to be a better reader of the Bible, read the Bible with a mind to obey it. Not just to collect odd facts and figures, not merely to get a good conscience, not just to get your husband or wife off your back, not just to do your homework if you go to a Christian school. If you want to read the Bible better, read it with a mind to obey it. And the last trait Watson points out is also the most important. If you want to be a better reader of the Bible, read the Bible prayerfully. When we read the Holy Scriptures, let us look to God for a blessing. Let us beg the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that He would enable us to understand it. Pray that God would make us find a relish and sweetness in His Word. Everything depends on God's blessing, including your next breath. Well, Bible reading also depends on His blessing. And so you ought to ask the Lord to help you to read His Word and to help you read it well. This is a prayer He commands you to offer. Therefore, it's a prayer He's going to answer. If you can't think of a prayer to say just before you read the Bible or as you're reading the Bible, go through that song we sang a few minutes ago. Psalm 119, 18, that is a prayer, you know. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So, question. Do you read the Bible? The question is not, have you read the Bible at all? I assume everyone has read the Bible some. But do you read the Bible with any regularity? You read the Bible every day? Maybe twice a day? You skip a day, do you get right back to it the next? Do you read the Bible? Well, I hope everyone here can say, yes, I do read the Bible. I read the Bible every day. But what kind of reading are you doing? Are you doing sloppy reading? Are you doing reading merely to get information? Or are you reading the way that you ought to read? Are you reading with profit? Are you reading with prayer? Are you reading with a mind to obey? Are you reading with faith? Are you reading with reverence? Are you reading with love? Are you reading carefully? Are you comparing one scripture to another? Are you mulling these things over during the day? Well, these are the ways that we read the Bible with profit. Remember, the Bible is not a magical book. The blessing doesn't come from holding it in your hand or putting it on your coffee table or running your eyeballs over it 15 minutes a day. The Bible works in an intellectual and spiritual way. It reaches our hearts through the minds as we read it, meditate on it, and commit ourselves to obey it. Then it has the transforming power that God says it has. So, everyone here, starting with me, everyone here needs to be a better reader of the Bible. And I pray that God will make us better readers for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that the Word of God lives up to its name. It is Your Word. We thank You that it's true and that it's beautiful and that it's good. We thank You that it can equip a saint for every good work. We thank You it's Your power unto salvation to everyone who believes. We thank You, Lord, that the Word of God can train us in all righteousness, that it can rebuke us, correct us, teach us doctrine. We thank You that the Word of God does all of these things and far more. We thank You that it becomes sweeter than the honeycomb to us. We thank You, Lord, that it brightens the eyes. And we thank You that it reveals Jesus Christ to us, the Christ whose death washes away our sin. And we pray now, Lord, that You'd forgive us for the way we read the Bible in the past. I pray You'd forgive me for the way I've read the Bible today. I pray, Lord, that we would read the Bible more carefully, more prayerfully, more obediently, more lovingly, more reverently, more faithfully. And Lord, that Your blessing would be upon our Bible reading, that we become doers of the Word and not readers only. Thank You for the good ministry of Thomas Watson. Thank You for the good things that he has said. Where he's made a mistake or where I've erred, I pray that You'd forgive. And Lord, where he has spoken the truth, I pray that You would bless that truth to do us good. We pray these favors in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.